Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by
Wellspring Christian Family Schools,
the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and so glad that you've chosen to tune in to the broadcast today. We're going to be continuing our series of workshop messages from the 2018-19 Wellspring Christian Family Schools workshops, which just concluded in March. And we're going to be beginning the message that Gary gave at the February workshop. So we hope that you'll join us now as Gary presents a message as part of the series, Though I Be Loved the Less, was the overall title for the series. And this particular message is called Treasures in Jars of Clay. Let's listen as Gary brings the first part of this message.
So I'm back from my travels, and that's the last I'm going to say of it probably today, but hopefully you'll have a chance to read the, I actually have extra copy, some extra copies at the table there of the sort of, I guess you'd call it my journaling while I was gone. It's interesting, it was quite a intensive affair, which provoked a lot of journaling, which I appreciate. Today, you all have your little workshop handout. We're doing the fourth and fifth workshop because we were snowed out last time, and praise the Lord for a beautiful day today. And you never know, who knows, March 28th, we may have a 3-foot blizzard, although I doubt it, and I certainly hope not. But getting to the context, I've messed with your outline a little bit, so I took your last page and I'm using it first as an introduction, but this is just reminding us about the workshop in general theme. This year the theme was though the more I love, the less I be loved. I'm really grateful for this theme for this year, and it's really important for us as parents. It's probably the most crucial job, that we manage our love effectively, efficiently, eternally. And so that's been our theme this year. And the big picture is we have an adversary, the devil, and he's wanting to steal, kill, and destroy our children. But the Lord's come that we might have life. So we've got to find life in the midst of this huge, difficult battle. And commenting on Paul's emotions and his reflections from later on in chapter 2 Corinthians, he says, I gladly will be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less abundantly, the less I be loved. But be it so. So we normally handle trials with the sense of, where'd this come from? And I hope I can get rid of this quick and get back to normal. Now, I don't mean to say that having a child is a trial, but of course there are some aspects to which it is. Permanent trial once they bring themselves into the world. But I remember the early years I used to think, oh no, all this disruption of a new child, when are we ever going to get back to normal? And we never did. So we had to adopt the phrase, well, we're going to have to find what the new normal is. We have to find out what that expansion of an inclusion. So I don't mean to make children feel like they're just trials, but if trials are opportunities, children certainly are wonderful opportunities. So you don't have this in your little booklet today, but I immediately thought of today's lesson. But if you remember at the beginning of the year, I showed you these pictures of the kintsugi pottery, which is basically taking broken pottery and mending it for use with gold, a gold glue. So as you can see, it becomes quite the attractive and more valuable pot or bowl once you've remended it with the gold. And I like to keep that visual in my own mind in terms of that picture that we have, this treasure in earthen vessels. But I want to start with our application, and I'll just start bluntly. I was watching a little video with Sally of Johnny Erickson Tada on Focus on the Family, and it was a radio show, but she was looking at the video available online of the radio broadcast, and Johnny was just talking about suffering. There was also some conversation centering around all of this new increasing legislation that's going on that's increasing abortion, diminishing the value of life, and the whole concept of euthanasia, etc. So that was the center of focus. But as she was talking, of course, she's licensed to talk about pain more than anyone else. One of her comments was that, well, I don't have the privilege of having a good day. It's not that I go along and all of a sudden, whoops, I got a day that I got to deal with some stuff. She said, I can't actually live unless every moment I'm giving my pain and my suffering, looking back to the Lord and giving it to Him and trusting Him and calling out His name. She said, I can't function minute by minute except I do that. And she said, at one point she said, so think about this. Being a quadriplegic, which means you don't have the use of any of your four limbs. Being a quadriplegic is a walk in the park compared to the constant chronic pain that I have every moment of my life. Constant chronic pain. Now, at this time, Johnny's earned the right to say a few things, to be sure. She's the oldest, longest surviving quadriplegic in the history of mankind. She's survived longer and has avoided more issues and problems. She got cancer a few years ago, and the cancer's come back. And so she's, you know, you think about fair. Well, Lord, how can that be fair? I mean, this is just not right. But as I was listening to this broadcast with Sally, she made a comment, and then she illustrated it a little bit. But it's just so profound. So I want you to, if you can, I want you to think about the top frustration on your list. The thing that's just like, come on, if we just could get rid of that problem, then we would be all right. We would really could have some easy coasting. But her comment was from 2 Peter 3, a day of the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So it's trying to get us to understand in the economy of the Lord, the Lord's long-suffering toward us, and His economy on time's a little different. So she said, well, we can understand that for the Lord 1,000 years is as a day, because He's God, and you know, He's been there forever, and 1,000 years is nothing in His sight. But she said, we ought to think about the reverse of that. A day is as 1,000 years. And she said, if we understood the value of spiritual victory in the moment and in the day that we're actually living, you have no idea the eternal impact that makes. And so she coined this phrase that if you take a day as 1,000 years and you divide the 24 hours and all the minutes into 1,000, you know, calculate, 12 hours of a of a working day is worth 500 years of glory. So, and we're going to see a passage that reflects on that a little bit, but she went on to tell the story about her primary ministry has been trying to encourage people suffering hardship of one kind or another, and mostly physical hardship, and primarily people that are paralyzed and have lost the use of their limbs. But she was talking to some girl, and the girl was just so frustrated, hurt, and angry. Her life is in prison on this bed, and Johnny was able to reach her with the vision that, well, every time you have a second and you can respond in that second with glory to God, with praise to Him, that translates into, I forget how many years she said, of eternal glory. And somehow it caught her vision, and I think she lived 20 months more after Johnny met with her. But her mother reported, well, she had 500,000 years worth of glory that she lived, you know, counting the minutes. But from that day on, she was able to live in the moment. And the problem that we have as human beings is we don't tend to live in the moment. We tend to look past the moment. We think something really big, something really important is coming down the pike. And so we're focused on that. And in the moment, we tend to express frustration, irritation, impatience, and we overlook the thing that's right in front of us, which is that opportunity. Now, God's merciful. My purpose of my message isn't to bring a spirit of condemnation, because we do struggle so much with looking past the moment. But I have a couple. This is a passage we've had on the screen every workshop, but I've added a few definers underneath. So that the nature of our ministry is that we manifest the truth, and by manifesting the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. So that's the exercise. When I live the truth openly, others see that truth, and now their consciences are introduced to truth and to glory above themselves. Now, I was just thinking of the concept that really talks about adorning. How do you make the gospel look? Somebody looks at your life, let's say they're not a Christian, they look at your life and they say, and you say you're a Christian, they look at your life. Do you make Christianity look attractive by how you live, by how you respond? And Johnny said that on occasion she'll receive this comment, well, Johnny, you're just different. You're just so positive, and you're just so full of jubilation that it's just not, other people aren't like that. And she just, no, that's not at all true. You don't understand. I have to fight spiritual battles every minute of the day so that I don't give in to despair and my pain and anger and frustration. It's a constant spiritual battle. And she said, you know, by this time in my life, I have to say, I thank God for my disability, because it's trained me to live in the moment with eternal glory in view. So, thinking of that word adornment, adorning the gospel, there's a passage here, and I'm sorry that the citation in Titus, I think it's Titus 2:10, got knocked off. But Paul says, this is King James, sorry about that, but not purloining, but showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And to purloin literally means to embezzle. So to embezzle means to withdraw for your own use. To withdraw for your own use. And I think as a Christian, one of my biggest problems in terms of going up and down, is when I am filled with the fullness of the joy of the Lord, I get so excited that I like, let's have a party. It's so exciting. God's so good. And it didn't really dawn on me really till I was listening to Johnny and thinking on this passage. The the purpose of the joy of the Lord is not just so we can consume it like an intoxicating drink, as it were. The purpose of the joy of the Lord is to give us hope so we can plow through difficulty and hardship with hope and be an example of that hope. So we're going to be adorning the doctrine of God in how we sacrificially give our lives. And so this is really going to be the turning point of this passage. And I already shared the verse about 1,000 days from Johnny, one day being as 1,000 years. So in the passage today, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're beginning at verse, I think it's at verse 7 through 14. But anyway, the text says this: we have this treasure in jars of clay, earthen vessels, jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So ban from your thought the understanding or expectation that you're supposed to be super mom, super son, super daughter, super dad. Ban from your mind that. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we're very frail, we're very flawed, and the glory of God's going to be found in the cracks that he mends, not in the perfection of our behavior, our actions and attitudes. So then he goes on and describes, of course he's thinking of himself as an apostle, but this is truly worthy of us as parents, thinking of this in our application as parents. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Now, that's not an exciting list of attributes, but it's the main thing with respect to the platform of our earthen vessel. Our earthen vessel means that things in life come at us. There's perplexity, there's affliction, there's persecution, there's literally just being struck down and knocked down. That comes at us all the time. And frankly, that is the norm, that is the standard for a valuable servant of God who's going to have eternal impact on those servants that he's been called or she's been called to serve and care for. So there's this picture then, always, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So it's not the avoiding of affliction, perplexion, persecution, and being struck down. It's not avoiding that that makes us notable or commendable. It's that when these things happen, we're not crushed. We don't end up in despair. We don't sense ourselves as forsaken or destroyed. We have that hope, and we keep our eye focused on that. And that's how you adorn the gospel. So in your family, the more you are sensitive to the moment of the difficulties, trials, whatever is coming at your family individually, collectively, one by one, the more you're attentive to that, then you're going to be aware of that place where eternity breaks out the strongest, an opportunity of growth. Continuing on in the passage, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, and life in you. Can you receive that as a structural foundation for how you live your life and how you impact others in the world around you? Death is at work in you, so that life is at work in others. So when you think about the adornment of the gospel, how you respond, when circumstances come your way that are death, That's your opportunity. That's your stage. It's your stage to shine forth and demonstrate what real life is all about. So the others watching recognize and get to understand what that life is, and then life will work in them. Here's an interesting thing. How many times have you taught your children, attempted to teach your children something, but you yourself really were struggling with that point? You really weren't believing it yourself. So I just love the way Paul writes it here. Since we have the same spirit of faith as according as it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Your speech to your children, to anyone you're ministering to, your speech is to spring out of your faith. And sometimes with your faith being attacked and you recognize what's truth, you speak what's true, and that first speaking of truth helps set the stage for you to stay on track and to walk in faith. Because when we speak the truth, we're walking in the place of knowing. Knowing that the Lord who raised up Jesus from the dead will also raise us up and bring us with him into his presence. So you have to ask that practical question. In the momentary circumstance that I'm ready to brush aside in frustration because it's interfering with my course and my plan that I have, in that momentary point, am I aware that the Lord himself is bringing us a visit with the point of faith and trust? There's more than this. There's more than this. This is not the goal. This is part of life in which God brings to us the genuine goals by which we seek for life and his presence. And then finally, the last verses here. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends more and more to more people, may increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Can you apply that thought to your mind? Freshly, anew, today, this morning, in your circumstances, something comes up. It's interfering at the least. It's frustrating at the most. And can you pause and remember, God's doing something eternal, and he wants to do it in you for your children's sake, so that they can get the message, so that they can understand the hope, and so that they can cling to everlasting life. So though our outer self is wasting away, our inner, I don't know what's the problem with this mic, but sorry about that. It's okay, I think. It's just, maybe it's too dry in here, or I'm just electrified. Our outer self is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Advantage of having listened to that clip from Johnny. But I got it. And here she is, trapped totally. And she was pretty plain about what it means to be trapped in a body that you can't do anything for. You other people have to feed you. Every aspect of your life is cared for by someone else. For her now, it's over 50 years. I get it. But the scripture here calls it, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And as Johnny created that illustration in my mind, for that a day is as 1,000 years, there's a huge eternal investment in the moment. Our light affliction is for a moment. And even in Johnny's eyes, if it's been 50 years, it's just 50 moments. It's not a forever thing. And so it's momentary. But it has a value. And I think that in terms of if we were to invest money in some project or try to earn capital wealth, and somebody said, well, if you just invest a penny in this item, you'll become a millionaire. We would say, what? And we'd all start hunting for pennies. But that's really what the Lord's saying. It's the things that we disregard. It's the things that we count as not important. The things that are snapping at us, robbing us of our strength. It's the outer self that's getting interfered with. He calls it wasting away. But the inner man needs to see. And your children will never see what you don't display. And as I think of what often happens in the moment of our frustration, you know, very often children see a momentary display of frustration that convinces the child they've seen it enough, that convinces the child that this is the path not working, not worth going down. And I've had the sad situation occur where I've heard homeschooling children, or children who've homeschooled who's now or now married and have their own children, and they aren't homeschooling. And I asked, well, why aren't you homeschooling? And they said, well, I don't ever want to put my wife through what my mother went through. And it just sounds kind of keenly negative. Like whatever was visible, what was being seen in the expression of that light momentary affliction, it was something that made the child say, you know, I don't want to inflict that kind of pain and misery on my wife. So pay attention. Winning a trophy, getting a grand achievement in human affairs, that's nice, and it does cost, and there is sacrifice involved. But all those things are passing away. The Lord is preparing jewels, His precious jewels, that He Himself is hoping to display forever and ever. And so by God's help, you paying attention to the moment. I was in, got to beam forth the glory and the hope of that glory as we go through your assignments, the trials you've assigned to us, with faith, with joy, for your sake, and thus with glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, with that, we've come to the end of the broadcast for today. If you would like to hear previous messages in this particular workshop series, you can go to wcfs.edu and click on the Resources tab, and you'll find a link to the audio vault where all of our previous messages and broadcasts here at Family by Design are available for download. We encourage you to do that. Listen to those. Feel free to share them. We think you'll be encouraged by them. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at Family by Design or Wellspring Christian Family Schools, you can do so by emailing radio@wcfs.edu. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call at 301-241-2072. Well, on behalf of everybody here at Family by Design and Wellspring Christian Family Schools, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping that you'll join us next week right here as we continue to treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift the Father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass Him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving, the greatest. is a life lived for Jesus.